us all. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Because we know that faith comes by hearing and reading this word. And we also know that God wants us to believe it and mix faith that empowers us to be able to change for God's glory. If anything, we should think upon and believe that every time we come into the presence of God and we hear his word, just believe the power of his word, the anointing, is going to change my life and conform my life into his image. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Because he's the only one that can change us in the inner man. He's the only one that can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And sometimes the enemy tries to get us to look at our walk and our failures and how we fall so desperately short of the standard set before us. Remember that the word that we hear is our faith. And it is our faith that pleases God. And all he's ever required of us is just a mustard seed. And so that is always the approach as we come to the word of God. Otherwise, it's simply another message, another meeting. But each message, each meeting is vital to that building within our hearts and lives that we can stand and endure to the end. Which brings me into the title that we have today. And we're calling our teaching, We Endure Because We Have a Vision of God. We endure because we have a vision of God. There is no other purpose, no other reason, no other formula other than the fact that we stay with it, we endure because we have a vision of Almighty God. And that is paramount for the overcomer. Now, I'm going to take this, of course, from something we're very familiar with, from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3, which says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie or tarry. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith," or his faithfulness. We endure because we have a vision of Almighty God. That's what we're looking at today, and that's what we believe we're going to answer. The book of Habakkuk is an interesting book. His name means one who embraces, one who clings on to, holds on. Sounds a bit familiar with us at times. We just hold on when everything around us is crumbling. And in many ways, that was Habakkuk's experience, being called to the remnant coming out of Babylon. And Habakkuk knows that their hearts are hard, stiff-necked, doesn't seem to have done an awful lot while they were in exile. But God is showing that he's going to use Babylon as the chastening rod upon the children of Israel. And as a result of that, he's revealing that is why they walk and you walk by faith and not by sight. He's saying this because for a period, it's not going to look very good. It's going to look quite negative. However, like all things, stay with it. Though it tarries, the vision tarries, at the end it will speak and it will not lie. I think there is such a parallel here, as I looked at this and studied this, with the great falling away that we are experiencing and seeing now. It looks so negative. It looks as though everything is collapsing around us, even with our governments, even in society, family life, you name it. There is nothing that's not being shaken. And yet, right through the midst of all of this, God says, stand fast, hold on, have faith, believe in my faithfulness, and though it tarries, I will reveal, I will show in the end. And I think we can draw great parallels from this, because in many ways, Christendom, or those that profess themselves as Christians, are so stiff-necked, rebellious. They want to worship and follow God on their own terms. Nothing has changed. Human nature doesn't change. Nothing is new under the sun. So, what does the Holy Spirit say to us to help us and to encourage us? Well, that's why we're here today. And that's why we're looking at Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. Now, as we're calling this, we endure because we have a vision of God. That's the key to this, a vision of Almighty God. Now, endurance isn't the same as patience. You know, patience is a virtue. It's a strength, yes it is. And man can also cultivate it. And there can be various degrees of strength. There can be inner strength. There can be a strength in something that you put your hands to. Some people are naturally strong. They have a strength. So it can display itself in many, many ways, but that is not what is being referred to here. You see, endurance, you see, it is dependent on the vision of Almighty God. That's what I see in this. To endure is not just a question of patience that can have its place. The endurance to stay with this and to see the vision fulfilled requires a vision of God Himself. And really, that's no revelation as such, we know that. But when we listen over the years to all the promises, all that's going to come, all that God is going to do, and so on, it's so easy to lose sight of the giver of all of that. It is so easy to lose sight of what our salvation is about. I want us, if we will, to turn to Hebrews 11. Again, you know these scriptures very well. Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter of the saints. And here we see something in verse 27 of Hebrews 11 and verse 27 with regard to Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That is the key, or was the key, to Moses' ministry. And God has to call you for that. God has to, in his way, reveal himself to you, to me, as he did to Moses. And he was able to forsake Egypt, Babylon. In other words, what do we glean from that today? It means he was able to separate himself from the world. And he could do it because he saw him who is invisible. And unless you see Jesus Christ in your life, unless you have a revelation of him, you will not separate yourself from this world. And the enemy will still use it, and he will still buffet you, and he will still try and get you out of God's presence, consecration, relationship with him. And you won't endure. The only way the overcomers will endure is that they see him who is invisible. And that was what God was trying to get over to Habakkuk, to that stiff-necked people. Even though I'm going to use Babylon as the chastening rod, even though it's going to look so negative, you walk by faith. Because to walk by faith means you see the one who is invisible. And that's the key to the deeper life. That is the key to our walk, brothers and sisters. That is our endurance. That is our dependent on the vision of Almighty God. He is your vision. And whatever other visions come as a result of that, they come because you had a vision of Almighty God. The deeper life, the revelation to the deeper life teaching has come as a result of Almighty God. He is that revelation. He is that teaching. And his name is Jesus. You reduce that to any other means, and you will not inherit it. You see, a saint who has a vision of God isn't devoted to some religious works. They're not devoted to traditions, festivals, you name it all. That's what so many professing believers are slaves to. You're not a slave to any cause or particular issue. You're free in Christ. Because the overcomers, saints, are devoted to one thing, and that is to Almighty God Himself. They're not devoted to anything else. Brothers and sisters, your devotion is not first and foremost to FGA or these meetings. Your devotion first and foremost is to Almighty God, to the vision of Almighty God. If you haven't got that right, you will not endure. You will not see this walk. You will not experience the deeper life. Because when you have that vision, and that vision is Almighty God, everything else flows from that. That is your freedom. That is your walk in the Spirit. That is your faith, your belief. That is above all your relationship. Everything stems from that. Now, that is something that the overcomers will be experiencing and should be experiencing. That is how the first fruits come as a result of that. We know this from Revelation 14. Revelation 14 and verses 1 to 4, where it speaks of the Lamb, Jesus, and the 144,000 redeemed from the earth. And he says, "Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth." Here it is. "These are the ones who were not defiled with woman," in other words, religion, "for they are virgins, wise virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God." So, what are they? They are the ones that follow the Lamb. They have a revelation of God. That is their revelation. The Lamb is their revelation. This is why we make so much about the bride that's making herself ready. The next great event is the first fruits to be brought in from the harvest and placed upon the altar. And the first fruits are those who have a revelation of Almighty God. Even though it tarries, even though it looks a failure, they have one thing about them, and that is a revelation of Almighty God. Even though everything else may be crumbling around them, and we don't know what we face in the future, but the assurance is they have a vision of Almighty God, seeing the one who is invisible. That is why they walk by faith. They're not looking for evidence. They're not looking for signs. "Then I'll believe." No. Their faith has so been worked on that they walk by faith and are resting and are praising and worshipping God in that. If it tarries, If I don't even get it in this life, I get it in eternity. Why do I say this? Because the overcomers are experiencing two realms. This realm and the eternal realm. And there are going to be times we're going to find ourselves caught up in the middle of it all. That is what God is doing. And so here they are, Revelation 14, the first fruits. The Apostle Paul speaks of them in Romans 8, the overcomers. And that's why you know when you have a vision from God, because of the inspiration that comes from it. And the one to whom it's pointing to. So you know when God gives visions. This is why we know that the deeper life is of God. Because of the inspiration that comes from it. The revelation that comes from it. And it points us to the one, the giver, the Lamb who stands in the midst. God is constantly drawing our attention, drawing our eye gate, drawing us away from our circumstances, ourselves, everything, constantly challenging us to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We get that in every message, and I wonder why. It is for that very reason. And it's no good getting upset because the vision is tarrying. Everything is in God's timing. He is completely sovereign. We can't change that. But we can believe upon it. So he's always pointing you upwards, pointing you to Almighty God. And that's why your life changes as a result. Has your life changed over the years? Has it completely turned you around, inside out, upside down, you name it? Of course he has. Because that is what it does when you see the one invisible, whose name is Jesus. This is why I say so often that the Christian life, the new birth, is the most radical thing that ever happens to your life. You are never the same once Jesus takes hold of your life. And thank God we're not. So, this vision, even though it tarries, has it inspired you, as we've talked about? Has it pointed you in the right direction with your eyes looking to the Lord Jesus? And above all, are you aware that you have been empowered for this? You see, I'm always constantly challenging you. Are you experiencing this? Is your life a supernatural life and walk? Or are you walking just like the rest of the world does? Because we shouldn't, as Christians. As overcomers. That is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, so that our lives are a supernatural life, an empowerment that comes from Almighty God, an empowerment to be able to overcome the powers of darkness, to be able to overcome self, which is the biggest hindrance to the Christian life. An empowerment to be able to let go and let God be God over your life and circumstances. You have to be empowered for that. It doesn't come in human effort. It comes as we believe in his word and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this comes as we have a vision of Almighty God. And in many ways, a lot of the Christian church is desperate for this. For this change. Because so much of ministry is pointing to man. Man's achievement. Man's building. There is not the power in the Word of God pointing to people to the glory of God, where only you can get changed by Him. And it's tragic. That's why we have so few come into this room. That's why you see them come in and they can't stay very long. Because the word's either life or death. And if you find yourself staying in the room, then praise God, He's got hold of your life. My life. And that's why He may allow you to go through these trials. This is why He allows you to go through these delays, these disappointments. All of these things, yes, are very real. But they are the very means of delivering us so that we can have a vision of Almighty God first and foremost. I think some of us haven't yet seen that the deeper life is a vision of Almighty God. We're still viewing it, what we can get out of it, what we want to see for the church, what I want in my ministry, and so forth. And that's not what it's about. You see, a vision causes you to reach out for more. And that's why we have the deeper life. Because you've got more there. Very few have preached it like that and remain with it like that. So a vision of Almighty God always challenges you to reach out for more and more and more. And that's what we want to see. I don't want to see FGA full up to the brim. We've failed if that's what's happening. No. The Word of God, the glory of God is always to challenge us to reach out for more, because we're growing. We're now seeing at the moment in spring, the birds, they've nested, they've got their young, and you watch them, they're backwards and forwards, foraging for worms or whatever it is. They're working overtime, these birds at the moment, to feed their young, because they're so hungry. Well, how much more with us, brothers and sisters? Have you lost your appetite? Are you now full because the world has got in the way? We need to be on our guards with this, brothers and sisters. But you see, if you've got this vision, it won't let you be spiritually satisfied. It will make you dissatisfied in that sense. Not in a tormenting sense, but reaching out for more. Believing for more. A spiritual determination. Wise virgins, in other words, and not the foolish, who are going off into that sleep, that slumber. What does Psalm 116 say? Psalm 116 and verses 12 to 13. Psalm 116, 12 and 13. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people. So there we are, brothers and sisters. It won't let you be spiritually satisfied. You're reaching out for more and more as you get a greater revelation of Almighty God. Just like the saints of old had. That's why they were able to endure and stay with it, even though it tarried. You see, the biggest hindrance is that we're so often apt to look for satisfaction in ourselves. We're looking for that satisfaction in a job. We're looking for that satisfaction in our hobbies or our relationships or our marriage. Or whatever we put our hands to, we're putting our hands to these things because we're looking for satisfaction. It's the wrong satisfaction. It can only be in Almighty God. And it does mean to say that we have all of these things. Of course we do. But that is not what we're looking for. If you have a vision, this vision, then it comes from Him. You can only be satisfied in Him. And everything else flows from that as a result, brothers and sisters. Then we can say, I can endure. I can stay with it. You have that confidence because everything comes from Him and not from yourself. And that's why I said at the beginning that endurance isn't the same as patience. It's easier to cultivate these things to ourselves, discipline ourselves. And yes, there should be a discipline. We should discipline our children. They should know those boundaries and everything. But the whole point is that to be in this war, it requires endurance. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And this can only come from a vision of Almighty God. As Habakkuk was saying there, even though God was showing that He was going to chasten them, they were going to go through perilous times, negative times. And when God means business, it can look negative for a while. But the vision will come. He will be faithful. You will see the end result. And why do we endure? Why do we stay with it? Because we see the one who is invisible. We have been taught to walk by faith, brothers and sisters, and it isn't going to change. We may try and change the message because we're having problems believing in certain areas, but it is not going to change. God will work with us to conform us and bring us to the standard of the faith that we walk by, that He sees fit for His glory. And where you are lacking in areas of faith, God is not going to give up. He will keep bringing us back over and over and over again until we finally let go. And what are we letting go? Of fear, unbelief. And He will do that. And that's why we endure. That's why we stay with it. We're in this because we're still being delivered. We're still being brought out from. He's purging the sons of Levi. He is going to have those first fruits brought in and presented and placed on the altar. And that is why we stay with it, brothers and sisters. You see, the message doesn't change. Our circumstances may change. Some have come, some have gone. We've got a new generation, but the message, the teaching doesn't change. And that is the point. And it doesn't change because we see the one invisible. And his name is Jesus. And we follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And the Lamb will often go to places that we would never go in the natural. We know the Lamb went to the cross. Nobody in their right sense would follow him all the way to the cross, and yet that is what the scriptures tell us to do. You see, a vision of God is more than we can experience in this life. And that, for me, settles it with regard to the deeper life. Because the deeper life, as you read it, it is not only for this life, but it's also for eternity. It's also preparing to rule and reign with Christ when he returns as well. That is why the vision of God is more than we can even experience in this life. Because in nature, it's eternal. And that is what I want you to try and get from your heads to your heart. The vision is an eternal vision. There's no beginning, there's no end. Why? Because the vision is Almighty God. And so, with that in mind, we can now see why God is doing what he's doing. And at our present time, we are watching as this world is rapidly falling away. We are watching the confusion on the earth. We are seeing everything being shaken. We're seeing the love of many waxing cold. We're seeing paganism, heathenism on a degree that we have never seen before. Violence, anger, wars, all of this is on the increase. We know it. We're seeing it. And what is God requiring of us for this season? To stand in the gap as intercessors, as mediators. Because if we don't pray, then the mercy of God will not be seen on the earth before judgment finally comes. We are interceding and supplicating for God to have mercy, as he had mercy on us. And very few believers really have that understanding. Very few believers have that unction within their heart to stand in the gap and to pray and intercede. And the reason that they don't have it is because they have no vision of Almighty God. When you have a vision of God, you have a vision of his mercy, his grace, his love. And you're able to call upon that, to supplicate, to intercede. No, we're not called to make the world better, to make it a place of peace and prosperity, and to put down all the enemy. No, that's not what it's about. That's not what we're called for. We're called to bring the mercy and grace of God in this time of darkness. We bring light into darkness through the power of the Holy Spirit. And thank God for that. Because you know when the first fruits are taken, when the overcomers go, it will, putting it absolutely bluntly, be hell let loose on earth. We are holding back the powers of darkness for their final onslaught. Even though the armies of Satan are building up around us, he's bringing them all in. And we feel at times we are completely overwhelmed, surrounded by all of this. But God's got good news for you. If he opens your eyes, you'll see there are many, many more angels and warring angels than there are his demonic forces. It's what we're choosing to believe. So that is our ministry at the moment, brothers and sisters. No, there's not a lot outwardly going on, but there's a huge amount spiritually that's happening. We are preparing the ground. We are paving the way. We are preparing for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, to return, and to rule and reign. And the overcomers are part of this in preparation. And even though this vision is tarrying, it will come to pass. And it will because we have a vision of Almighty God. He is the vision. And when your eyes are completely upon him 24/7, you can rest. You can overcome. You can endure. You can meet any trial because your eyes are totally set upon him and him alone. That's what this is all about, brothers and sisters. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. There we are. So it's going to speak, and God is not a liar. But though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. Amen. And if you're not sure what all of this is, then you ask the Lord. Because if your eyes are totally upon the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, then you have a vision, you have an understanding of what's coming. And we believe that to be the deeper life. We endure because we have a vision of God. Hallelujah. Father, again, you have said it all today. Father, we thank you that you are speaking to us by your precious Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, that we take our eyes off you. It's so easy to be looking to self, our own strength, our own ability. At times we don't even have to work at it, it just seems to happen. But Father, kindle that hunger within us for more and more and more. Don't let us be satisfied. Whatever obstacle, whatever hindrance is still hindering us from seeing Almighty God, then Father, deliver us so that our eyes are completely and utterly fixed upon you. But we believe, Father, that you will do that because our hope is in the power of the Holy Spirit, who's baptized us, empowered us in order to do that. And even though so much is tarrying, yet you do not lie. And it will come to pass. And you've not left any of us out. We're all a part of this. So Lord, we look to you. we wait upon you. Our eyes and hearts looking away from this world, beholding the glory, the majesty, the might and power and dominion of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Shall see the salvation of God.